Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. Father Peter Munnane and his ploughshares made national headlines in 2008 when they breached security at the Waihopai spy base. As far as symbolic gestures go, it was a goodie as the massive Kevlar housing around what turned out to be a giant satellite dish was deflated. A very public trial ensued, resulting in a finding of not guilty due to claim of right. But having lost that battle, the government has now announced its next campaign, suing the Dominican friar and his accomplices for damages in the order of $1 million. Father Peter Munnane joins us now. Is that right, $1 million?
Not quite. 1.2 something.
Oh, well, give or take.
You forgot the pies and the savouries. They actually list the savouries on the itemisation sheet.
What savouries?
For the workers.
Yes, and they had to hire some coffee cups as well?
Coffee cups, $40 worth of hired coffee cups. That's a lot of cups.
Well, it's good to know that it's not scrimping on the workers. You wouldn't want that, would you?
Oh, no.
Look, for a start, have you got $1.2 million?
Not with me, nor out there somewhere.
Could you probably shout the savouries and the coffee cups, maybe, if it came to it?
I can cook, but it's self, do it yourself.
So is this a fruitless endeavour for the government, then?
Virtually, yes. I'm a pensioner. I'm a vowed religious. When I was in my early adult life, I took a vow to share everything with the Dominican community, and I haven't had a checkbook since or an income since. My pension goes straight into the community fund. I buy a new shirt or a second-hand shirt from the op shop whenever I need one with cash from the community.
Now, presumably the government will know that. Why do you think they have done this?
They want to show that the law is the law. They want to say, well, damage was done. We'll get our pound of flesh or our $1.2 million. They also, I think, have been, their dignity has been offended, and they'll want to look good again. Spies are so secret. We actually got them out of their cave to say, well, we don't do any bad things with that base, and that was quite a triumph, actually. But they'll keep on denying that. But we feel a bit piqued ourselves at being tried by a group that won't say it. So what they're using the instrument for, which we destroyed, we're not. We have claims that I don't think, in fact, we're allowed in a civil trial to explain why we did it, and they don't have to explain what they are doing. It's a bit unbalanced, we think.
Well, I suppose in the civil trial, the main point is who did the damage, who's paying for it, that sort of thing. It's a lot simpler.
There still remains the fact was that the goods being used for criminal purposes. And we claim they are. So we want to say that, and we want to say it in court. The first step is to get us into court, and they would like to keep us out of court, actually.
But you do want to go into court?
Oh, yes.
Is that because it gets your cause back in the news?
Because we want to tell the story. I mean, we didn't do it for fun. We didn't risk jail for fun or the $1.2 million fine or damages for fun. We have a story to tell. It starts with torture. It starts with kidnapping. It starts with invasion and the siege of Fallujah, which was a horrible war crime and committed by the US and Britain. We want to ask, are we complicit in these things in New Zealand? Am I, as a taxpayer in New Zealand or a resident of New Zealand, complicit? And I think we are.
On what do you base that?
Communications is essential to war. And this is a central communication base. We know, and we proved, through an affidavit from Catherine Gunn, that the base was one of the five spying on the UN Security Council just before the invasion of Iraq. Canada refused, but the others didn't. So that's siding for the war. That's helping George Bush. Well, I don't want to help George Bush. And the invasion of Iraq, when you read about it, when you talk to Iraqis, is a huge genocidal war crime.
Do you have any regrets about the way things unfolded? Would you do it the same way again?
Yeah, basically. The structure of our world is such that we live our lifestyles based on the destruction of others. And I want to help to unlock that or look into that. And people who blog against us say we're mad vandals don't see yet the point that we are all guilty of Iraq.
So now the government's coming after you. Now, obviously, it's not just you that the government's coming after. It's also your, as I said in the intro, your accomplices, if I can call them that. Is that also a case of, you know, throwing good money after bad?
Well, you're going to look very foolish. You're going to spend millions on the case, more taxpayers' money.
And you're going to presume to get legal aid for this as well, are you? Because in the criminal trial, you represented yourself. But in this one, you're going to take counsel.
Three of us getting legal aid now instead of two. And also, what is being concealed still is the $500 million so far spent on the base. And we don't know what for. They won't tell us. It's sort of in wraps. And that, too, is something which is quite evil, that a group in a country can keep things under wraps, spend a huge amount of money, and are virtually out of control. The meeting time which the GCSB, bases controllers, spend explaining themselves to government is minimal. It's one or two meetings a year for 40, 50 minutes. And the CIA in the US, of course, is out of control completely. It murders, it massacres, it it assassinates, and it probably assassinated John F. Kennedy. I've read in a recent book, which is excellent scholarly qualifications and footnotes and research.
So do you think this bit of this conversation right now is the bit where people who blog against you say, oh, here we go, because, you know, you're making sense up to that point, and then you start talking about the Kennedy assassination,
I forget the name of the author, but it's a scholarly book. It's, he says the CIA had every reason in their own logic, twisted logic, to do away with that president. He was trying to close down the Cold War. He was communicating with Khrushchev. He was this and this and this. He was, you know, just wanting to be a peacemaker, and whereas they are not in that line, that's
I think
war is business.
If we had a much longer interview, I could probably give you a few other theories that have also got fairly scholarly underpinnings as well. So
I do think that's a likely scenario.
Okay.
And the spies, to be more serious, that was deadly serious, but to be more close to home, the spies get it very wrong here. I mean, we had Ahmed Zawi in our house for 3 years. He was on trial for 5 years, in jail for two of those, and that's 5 years out of his family life, which is pretty serious. And they were wrong, the spies, the SIS in this case, same company, were wrong. And they backed off, could not produce any evidence when the crunch came. What are they getting wrong at Waihopo?
So tell us what's going to happen from here. As you're going to engage some counsel, I presume this could take years. Court cases are not quick things.
There's the MacLibel case, which is the longest-running case in British legal history.
This is the one against McDonald.
We don't want to repeat that, but it could get lengthy.
Does this have the effect of keeping you out of the fray while this legal action in progress? Does that mean that constrain you from other protests?
Not, I'm not on bail. I've no ban against me. So, during the criminal trial, or before it started, I was not allowed to go within 100 metres of a military installation. In fact, I had to go on the bus past the army headquarters every quite often, and that was breaking the law, but that's a bit ridiculous. I wasn't allowed to go to Blenheim or Marlborough except on legal business, which I was, in fact, not on bail terms, but for other reasons, forbidden to visit the Mount Eden prison, where I've been doing for 20 years. But after a year, I had that removed. So there are no constraints at all on this at the moment.
Critics would say that, okay, you've cost us $1 million already by, you know, in the Kevlar thing, whatever your view on the spy bases, the legal aid.
The CIA.
the legal aid has cost a certain amount.
Yeah.
That that it's not just your liberty that's at stake here. It's actually costing the taxpayers and all of us a lot of money.
Yes, it's the whole taxpayers' liberty, really. I mean, that $500 million I would refer to again, and say, well, why aren't the taxpayers asking for accountability for their $500 million? The one might be a very small investment, the cost of a dome. And, in fact, the dome is not necessary. They claim in their affidavit, or Mr. Wolfenson, the manager of the base, and it's repairing, said it is actually a weather cover. But here we go again. I said the Channel 1 antennae don't have weather covers, but he said they detected weather damage after a few weeks of exposure. And he also admitted, this for the first time, that it also prevents people from seeing what satellites they're watching. We knew that all the time, but that he admitted it. That's a big breakthrough. So we asked the taxpayers of New Zealand to say, Mr. Wolfenson, what is your base watching satellites for, and what is it doing with the information as it which it's all sends all of it to NSA? Tell us, please.
Right. Well, look, we could sit here all day, I'm sure, talking about John F. Kennedy theories, if nothing else. I wish you, and to some extent, all the best for your upcoming trial. I'm sure that there will be a lot of people out there who will be wanting to see their pound of flesh as well. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
And we'll certainly keep you up to date with any developments in this case, no matter how many years it takes. That was Father Peter Manane of the Ploughshares. Coming up after the break, child literacy, is the internet ruining it, and AutoZam.